of the manner of the ruin of Antichrist. What Antichrist is, I have told you, and that as to his soul and body. I have also told you where or in what things the spirit and life of Antichrist lieth, and how he shall reign for a time. I have moreover showed you that he will be destroyed, and by what, and that with reference both to his soul and body. Wherefore, waiving other things, I shall here only present you with a few short hints concerning the manner of his downfall. There is the downfall, the time of the downfall, and the manner of the downfall of Antichrist. The manner of the downfall of Antichrist may be considered, either with respect to the suddenness, unexpectedness, terribleness, or strangeness thereof. It may also be considered with respect to the way of God's procedure with her, as to the gradualness thereof. As to the suddenness thereof, 'tis said to be in an hour. It is also to be when by her unexpected. For then she saith, I sit a queen. That's Revelation 18, 7 and 8. For the terribleness of it, the nation shall shake at the sound of her fall. Ezekiel chapter 31, verses 16 and 17. And for the strangeness thereof, it shall be to the wonder of the world. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. It will be as when God overthrew Sodom. But I shall not enlarge upon this method in my discourse, but shall show you the manner of the ruin of Antichrist, with respect to the gradualness thereof. It's Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 36 and 43, Revelation chapter 18, verse 8, Isaiah chapter 47, verse 9. Antichrist shall then be brought to ruin gradually, that is, by degrees, apart after apart. Here, a fenced city, and there a high tower, even until she is made to lie even with the ground. And yet, all shall be within the compass of God's days, hours, or moments. For within the compass of these limited times, Antichrist shall be destroyed. Number 9. Now, as I said, he, she, Sodom, Egypt, Babylon, Antichrist, shall be destroyed, not all at once, after the way of our counting of time, but by step after step, that is, piece after piece. And perhaps there may be in the words now following something that signifies this. They shall, quote, show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end, close quote. It's Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 31. This is also showed by the vessels in which is contained the wrath of God for her, together with the manner of pouring it out. The vessels in which it is contained are called vials. That's V-I-A-L-S. Now a vial is that which letteth out what is contained in it by degrees, and not all at once. There are also two things to be considered as to the manner of its being poured out of them. The first respecteth the nature of the vial. The other, the order of the angels that poured forth this wrath. For the first, the vial, as it letteth out what is in it by degrees, so it doth it with certain gusts that are mixed with strength and violence, bolting it out with noise, etc. As for the order of the angels, or that order that they observe, they plainly show that this enemy must come down by degrees, for that these vials are by them poured out one after another, each one working something of their own effects before another is poured forth. The first is poured forth upon the Antichristian earth, the second upon her sea, The third is poured forth upon her rivers, and the fourth upon her son. The fifth is poured out, it's poured forth upon the seed of the beast. The sixth upon her Euphrates, and the seventh into her heir. That's Revelation 16, verses 2 through 17. And I say, they are poured forth not all at once, but now one, and then another. Now, since by these vials Antichrist must fall, and since also they are poured forth successively, quote, 'tis evident that this man of sin, this son of perdition, is to fall and die by degrees. Close quote. He would not die at all, as is manifest by his wrestling with it, but he is a strong God that judges, and therefore he must come down. His friends also, with what cordials they can, will labor to lengthen out his tranquility. But God has set his boundaries, and he cannot go beyond the time appointed. We must also put a difference betwixt her being fought withal and wounded, and that of her dying the death. Michael and his angels have been holding of her in play a long season, but yet she is not dead. Revelation chapter 12. But, as I said, she shall descend in battle and perish, and shall be found no more forever. A tenth part falls first. To speak then to the matter, or to the manner of the ruin of this Antichrist, with respect to the gradualness thereof, it must piece after piece be overthrown, until at last every whit thereof is rolled down from the rocks as a burnt mountain. And hence we read that this city falls first and a tenth part thereof, even while nine parts remain yet standing. Nor doth this tenth part, notwithstanding the faith and faithful testimony of the two witnesses, quite fall until they are slain and also raised again. For, 'tis said, the same hour that the witnesses were raised, the tenth part of the city fell. It's Revelation chapter 11, verse 13. The tenth part of that city that reigneth over the kings of the earth, which city is Sodom, Egypt, Babylon, or the great whore. Revelation chapter 17, verse 18. By the city, then, I understand the church of Antichrist in its utmost bounds. And so it reacheth as far as the beast with seven heads and ten horns hath dominion. Hence this city is also called cities, C-I-T-I-E-S, as one universe is called by the name of several countries, etc. And them cities are also called, quote, the cities of the nations, close quote. It's Revelation chapter 16, verse 19. For as when they are put together, they all make but one. So when they are considered apart, they are found in number 10. An answer to the 10 horns upon the heads of the seven-headed beast that carries her, and to give her protection. This then I take to be the meaning, that the anti-Christian church is divided into 10 parts. And each part is put under one of the horns of the beast for protection. But that aid and protection shall not help when God shall come to execute judgment upon her. For it saith, quote, a tenth part of that city fell, close quote. That is, first, it is a forerunner of the fall of all the rest. Now, where this tenth part is, or which of the ten parts must fall first, or whether indeed a tenth part is already fallen, that I will leave to those that are wiser than myself to determine. But since I am speaking of the fall of a tenth part of Antichrist, a word or two about the means of the fall thereof. The means of the fall of this tenth part is an earthquake, yet not such as is universal over the face of all, but an earthquake in that tenth part where that city stood that should fall. Now, by earthquakes here cannot be meant anything but a shaking, as unsettled with the foundations of this tenth part. But whether it shall be in this tenth part as a city, or in it as a state, that I shall not determine. Only my thoughts are that it shall be an earthquake in that kingdom where this tenth part shall happen to be. An earthquake not to overthrow further than is appointed. And that is the city which is called the tenth part of the great Antichrist. So far as that state is a state, so far then it is shaken for reformation, not for destruction. For in the earthquake were slain 7,000 names of men, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. But thus much for the first. Great Babylon falleth first, and a tenth part of it. The nine parts fall. Again, the next step that the strong God taketh towards the utter overthrow of Antichrist will be more sore upon the whole, though not at first universal neither. Yet in conclusion, it shall throw down the nine parts that are left. For thus it is recorded, quote, and the cities of the nations fell, close quote. The cities of the nations, the anti-Christian churches, otherwise called the daughters of the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. Now to show you the hand of God in this second stroke, wherewith the Lord will smite this enemy, number one, here, we have a great earthquake. Number two, and then, the fall of the cities of the nations. For the earthquake, it is said to be never was, quote, so mighty an earthquake and so great, close quote. Revelation chapter 16, verse 18. For it extended itself as far as the other nine cities had any ground to stand on, for it shook the foundations of them all. The fall of the cities was not immediately upon the shake that was made, but rather the earthquake produced an eruption. An eruption in the nine remaining parts of this city, and such an eruption as is the wiser sort. We divided them into a three-headed division, quote, and the great city was divided into three parts, close quote. The great city, to wit, the powers by which they were upheld. The meaning then is this. When God shall strike this man of sin the second time, he will not be so sparing as he was at the first, when he struck but a tenth part to the ground. But now he will so shake, so confound, and so divide, so raise up Antichrist against himself, to wit, in the body and members of him, that they shall set to fighting, and to tearing one another into pieces, until they have consumed the whole of these nine parts. It was, saith the text, divided into three parts, which divisions are the worst of all. It will be, therefore, such a division as will bring them all to ruin. And hence it follows, quote, and the cities of the nations fell, close quote. Wherefore, this three-cornered eruption will be the most dreadful to Antichrist that ever was. It will be like that was in Jerusalem, when she came to be laid even with the ground, and like that came upon the armies of the Gentiles, when they came up to fight against Jehoshaphat. Quote, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. close quote. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 23. This, I say, is the division that this mighty earthquake shall make betwixt the horns that are left to these nine parts that remained when the tenth part of the city fell. And this will come to pass through the increase of the heat of God's anger. For he is angry with the waters where the woman sitteth, because they have delivered up his beloved to the bloody whore. Wherefore, he now will give them blood to drink in fury. Hence, his beginning to deal with Antichrist is called the beginning of revenges. Quote, I will make, saith the Lord, I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Close quote. It's Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 42. And therefore it is said again that when God comes to do this work upon this Antichrist, it is because, quote, it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Close quote. It's Isaiah chapter 34, verse 8. Quote, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Close quote. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 4. A peace, therefore, cannot be made among these cities when God has forbidden it. Wherefore, the effect of all is the cities of the nations fall. There is therefore like to be no more good days for Antichrist after this earthquake has begun to shake her. No, nothing now is to be expected of her but rumors, tumults, stirs, and uproars. Quote, one post shall run to meet another to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end, close quote. And again, quote, a rumor shall both come 1 year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor and of violence in the land, ruler against ruler, close quote, etc. It's Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 31 and verse 46. So that this earthquake has driven away peace, shaken the foundations, and will cast the nine cities down to the ground. Great Babel falls. And this is a second stroke that God will give this man of sin, and a third cometh quickly. Wherefore it follows upon the downfall of these cities and the nations that, quote, Great Babylon came into remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Close quote. Now then, have at Great Babylon. Great Babylon! Well, what is that? Why, I take it to be the mother, the metropolitan, the great whore herself. For though sometimes by the great whore, or Great Babylon, we may understand the Church of Antichrist in general, yet by it is meant more properly the mother of the daughters, of whose overthrow we have spoken before. We are now then come to the threshold of the door of the house of the, and Bunyan capitalizes, Old One, capitalizes the word old, Old One, to the door of the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. This then, that but now is said to come into remembrance with God, is that which gave being to the cities destroyed before, to wit, the mistress, the queen, the mother church, as she calleth herself. And this is the wisdom of God concerning her, that she should not be the first that should die, but that she should live to see the destruction of her daughters and pine away under the sight and the sense of that, even until judgment also shall overtake herself. Thus Pharaoh and his chief ones did live to see the greatest part of Egypt destroyed before judgment overtook them. But at last it came to their doors as well. Zedekiah lived to see his children slain before his face, before judgment overtook him to his own personal destruction. It's Jeremiah chapter 52, verses 8 through 11. Babylon also, when God sent the cup of his fury unto her, yet was to live to see the nations drink before her. Quote, "Take the wine cup of my fury," said God to the prophet, "and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink of it." Close quote. It's Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 15. To wit, all the kingdoms of the world which are upon the face of the earth. Quote, "And Sheshach shall drink after them." Close quote. That's verse 26. But what was Sheshach? Some may say. Well, I answer. It was Babylon, the princess of the world, and at that time the head of all those nations. Daniel chapter 4, verse 22. As this queen is now the mother of harlots. Wherefore, the same prophet, speaking of the destruction of the same Sheshach, saith, quote, "How is Sheshach taken? And how is the praise of the whole earth surprised? How is Babylon become an astonishment among the nations?" Close quote. It's Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 41. Now, if this was the method of God's proceeding with his enemies in the way of his judgments of old, why may we not suppose that he will go the same way with his great enemy now? Especially since those judgments mentioned before were executed upon those which in some things were figures or illustrations of the great whore. Besides, we read here plainly that when the cities of the nations were fallen, great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give her to drink of the cup. From all, which I conclude, as I did before, that the mother, or the metropolitan, the lady of kingdoms, shall live to see her daughters executed before her face, after which she shall come into consideration herself, for she must assuredly drink of the cup. Number 10. This destruction, therefore, must be last, for the reasons urged before, and also because she most deserves the bottom of the cup. The bottom is the dregs, the most bitter part, and that where the most heat and fiercest wrath of God doth lie. Psalm chapter 75, verse 8. Wherefore, although you find that by the first earthquake a great slaughter was made, and that a tenth part of the city fell, yet from that judgment some did escape. Quote, "And the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven." Close quote. That's Revelation chapter 11, verse 13. But now, this earthquake, by virtue of which the cities of the nations fall, and as an effect of which great Babylon is come into, quote, remembrance before God, close quote, neither spares one of the daughters of this whore, nor any man that is a lover of them. But it so is seconded by a, quote, hailstorm, close quote. And that hailstorm worketh so in wrath, that not one escapes by repentance. Every hailstone was the weight of a talent, which some say is 6 pounds above half an hundred weight. Number 11. By this, therefore, God shows that now his anger was wrought up to the height. I know not wherewith so to compare these hailstones as with the talent of lead that was laid over the mouth of the ephah, which was prepared to hold the woman, whose name was Wickedness, this very whore of Babylon. For that talent of lead was to keep down this mistress, that she might get no more out of the ephah, and these hailstones are to banish her out of the world. Zechariah chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. Therefore it follows that she must have the most heavy judgment, even the bottom of the cup. Quote, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God, close quote. To remember with God is to visit either with grace or wrath. God is said to remember Rachel when he visited her with the blessing of a fruitful womb, Genesis chapter 30, verse 22. It is said also that God remembered Noah when the time came on that he was to be delivered from the flood. That's Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. Here also he is said to remember Babylon, that is, to visit her with his anger for the wickedness that she had committed. Quote, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, close quote. Now then is the time of iniquity, when it will become to the full. And now also is the time of God's anger, when it will become to the full. Now therefore must the murders, Revelation chapter 18, verse 24, and thefts, and blasphemies, and fornications, etc., belonging to this mother of harlots, be recompensed to the full, to wit, with the dregs of this cup. Yet, since the hailstones come by weight, and the wrath comes by measure, for so a talent and a cup imports, it follows that the Almighty God, even in the midst of the heat of all this anger, will keep to the rules of justice and judgment while he is dealing with this enemy. He has not passions to carry him beyond rules of judgment, nor weakness to cause him to fall short of doing justice. Therefore, he has, as was said, his judgments for her by weight, and his indignation by measure. But yet this weight and measure is not suited to her constitution, not with an intent to purge or refine her, but it is disposed according to the measure and nature of her iniquity, and comes to sweep her as with the besom of destruction, until she is swept off from the face of all the earth. And thus I have showed you the manner of the ruin of Antichrist. That is, that it will be gradual, part after part, until the whole be overthrown. And this truth may be applied both to the soul as well as to the body of Antichrist. For the soul, spirit, or life of Antichrist must also, after this manner, be destroyed. And hence it is said, to be consumed, that is, by degrees. For to consume is to destroy by degrees. Only this caution I would have the reader remember, in this case, listener, that much of the soul of Antichrist may be destroyed when none of her daughters are, and that the destruction of her spirit is a certain forerunner of the destruction of her body in the manner that we have related. Now, since she is dying, let us ring her passing bell. For when she is dead, we that live to see it intend to ring out. Quote, for thus saith the Lord God, when I shall make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep upon thee, and great water shall cover thee, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit, with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, in places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit, that thou be not inhabited. And I shall set glory in the land of the living. I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more. Though thou be sought for, yet shalt thou never be found again, saith the Lord God. Close quote. It's Ezekiel chapter 26, verses 19 through 21. Of the signs of the approach of the downfall of Antichrist. Having in the foregoing discourse spoken of Antichrist, his ruin, and the manner thereof, I now come to speak of the signs of the approach of her destruction, and whether I shall hit right as to these, that I must leave to time to make manifest, and in the meanwhile, to the wise in heart to judge. That she shall fall, there is nothing more certain. And when she is fallen, that she never shall rise again, is also as firmly decreed. Yea, and showed too by him that cast the millstone into the sea, and said, quote, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. Close quote. Revelation chapter 18, verse 21. This is therefore her fate and destiny from the mouth of the Holy One, and is sealed up in the scriptures of truth for the comfort of the people that have been afflicted by her. True. The time of her fall is not certainly known by the saints, nor at all believed by her. Wherefore, her plagues must come unlooked for by her. And as to the saints, their guesses as to the time of her ruin must needs be conjectural and uncertain. For her part, she shall say, and that when she stands where she must suddenly fall, quote, I shall be a lady forever, close quote. Isaiah chapter 47, verses 7 through 9. And as to the saints that would very willingly see her downfall, how often have they been mistaken as to the set time thereof? Nor have I been without thought, but that this mistake of the godly may become a snare to Antichrist and a trap to her upholders. For what can be a greater judgment, or more effectually harden the hearts of the wicked, than for them to behold that the predictions, prophecies, expectations, and hopes of their enemies, as to their ruin, should quite, as to the time, be frustrated and made void? Moses prophesied, and the people hoped that God would give Israel, quote, the land of Canaan, close quote. And yet the Canaanites beat them. Numbers chapter 14, verse 40, and Joshua chapter 7, verses 5 through 9. Jeremiah prophesied that the enemy should come and take the city of Jerusalem. But because he came once and went back without doing it, how stout and hardened were the hearts of that people against all the rest of his prophetic sayings as to such a thing. Jeremiah chapter 37. Now the error lay not in these prophets, but rather in the people's mistaking the times. Think of Harold Camping and his many prophecies about the coming judgments, and how wrong he was, and how it hardened the hearts of the people. Anyway, I continue with Bunyan's book. I'll rephrase. And now the error lay not in these prophets, but in the people's mistaking the times. And if mistakes do so much harden the heart of the wicked, what will they do to such of them who make it their business to blind and harden their hearts against God by abusing all truths? Surely, when men seek to harden their hearts by the abusing of the truth, they will do it to purpose, when they have also the advantage of the weakness of their professed enemies to do it by, especially when their enemies shall say that they speak by the word of the Lord, and time shall manifest it to be both a mistake and a falsehood. It is to be bewailed, namely, the forwardness of some in this matter, who have predicted concerning the time of the downfall of Antichrist, to the shame of them and their brethren. Nor will the wrong that such by their boldness have done to the church of God be ever repaired by them, nor their works. The judgments of God are a great deep, and therefore who can tell, since the enemy of God would not be convinced by the power of truth and the virtuous lives of some, but that God might leave them to be snared, hardened, and emboldened to run upon their unavoidable destruction by the lies and lightness of others. They began to vaunt it already, and to say, where is the word of the Lord? As to this, well, let it come now. But when Agag said, quote, surely the bitterness of death is past, close quote, then was the time for him to be cut into pieces. Close quote. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 32 and 33. I shall not therefore meddle with the times and seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. No, though they, as to Antichrist's ruin, are revealed. Because by the Holy Ghost there is a challenge made. Notwithstanding, the time is set, and by the word related to the man of wisdom, to find it out if he can. That's Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. If Samson's riddle was so puzzling, what shall we think of this? And though the angel hath intimated that this sealed matter shall be open towards the time of the end, Daniel chapter 12, verse 9, yet, quote, 'tis evident, some have either been so hasty or presumed too much upon their own abilities, for I am sure they have missed the mark, hardened the heart of the enemy, stumbled the weak, and shamed them that love them, close quote. But since the Most High hath irreversibly determined her downfall also, let us see if we can have better success in discoursing upon the signs than others have had who have meddled with the timing thereof. Here's the first sign. First, then, the downfall and ruin of Antichrist draws near, when the church and people of God are driven from all those hiding places that God has prepared for them in the wilderness. The church of God, when the dragon did his worst, had an hiding place prepared her of God, that she might not utterly be devoured by him, and so shall have till the time of his end shall come. Of this you read in the 12th of Revelation, a place worthy to be noted for this. But now, when the time of the ruin of Antichrist draws on, then is the church deprived of her shelter and laid open, as one would think, to be utterly swallowed up forever, having no more place in the wilderness, that is, among the nations, to hide herself from the face of the serpent. It sounds like now in the 21st century. But how comes this to be a sign of the approach of the ruin of Antichrist? Well, why thus? The time of this beast's war with the Church of God, and the time that the church shall have an hiding place in the wilderness, are both of a length, the one continuing 42 months, the other 1,260 days. Now, since the war that this beast makes is with the woman and her seed, and the woman's hiding place in the wilderness from his face are, for length of time, the same, what hindereth but that when the woman and her seed can find no more shelter in the nations, the time that the beast hath allotted him to make war against her should be finished also? When we therefore shall see that plots and conspiracies, that designs for utter ruin, are laid against God's church all the world over, and that none of the kings, princes, or mighty states of the world will open their doors or give them a city for refuge, then is the ruin of Antichrist at hand. For Haman's plot, though the most universal that ever yet was hatching, being laid in 127 provinces, did but presage the deliverance and exaltation of the Jews and of the hanging of Haman and his sons. Yea, and I take it, that the very day that this great enemy had set for the utter overthrow of the church, God made the day in which their deliverance began, and that from whence it was completed. And I take that to be a type of this. There is but one thing that I can think of that can give matter a show of doubt about this thing, and that is, though the time of this war against the saints and that of the woman's shelter in the wilderness as to length be one and the same, yet whether they did commence together and begin to take their rise, as men do that begin to run a race, a word therefore to this. I suppose they did commence much together, for else with whom should this beast make war, and how should the church escape? Or, if the beast began his war before the woman began to have a hiding place, why was she not swallowed up, since in the wilderness was her only place of shelter? Again, what needed the woman to have a place of shelter in the wilderness when there was no war made against her? And yet this must be, if her 1,260 days began before the beast's 42 months. But they ended both together. For the beast could not kill the witnesses before they had finished their testimony, which testimony of theirs lasted this full time that the beast had granted him to make war with them, to wit, 1,260 days. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. Therefore, their times went out together, as will be made to appear, if you consider also that the witnesses were slain by virtue, not of the old, but of a new war levied against them, and that, as it should seem, at the very time when her hiding place was taken from her. For then indeed, for a little season, will the church of God be overcome, as I shall show by and by. Wherefore, let God's people consider and remember that when God's church is absolutely forlorn and has no hiding place any longer in the world, the kingdom of Antichrist will quickly begin to tumble. Nor is this the alone place from whence we may gather these conclusions. The time of Pharaoh's tyranny, of his life, and of the deliverance of the children of Israel came out much together, as any will discern that shall consider the history of them. And that can be found in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. David, when Saul did sorely persecute him and prosecute him, fled at last into the wilderness to Achish, the king of Gath, a Philistine, for shelter. And he gave him Ziklag for his refuge. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter 27, verses 5 and 6. And that place so continued to David, quote, till just about the time in which Saul must die. And then behold, David's Ziklag is burned with fire, and himself stripped naked of harbor. And that can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. But what matter? The time of Saul's life, as well as of David's Ziklag, was now upon expiring. For within 3 or 4 days after, David became the king of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 1 through 6. And thus also it was with the Babel beast. His time expired when the captivity of Israel was upon the finishing. Then was the time of his land come. And, quote, in that, close quote, very, quote, night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, close quote. Daniel chapter 5, verses 25 through 30. Thus, therefore, it will happen to the church in the latter days. Her place of shelter in the wilderness, her Ziklag, will be taken from her about the time that the war that the beast has to make upon the woman and her seed shall be finished. But now the church is not therefore immediately delivered when her Ziklag is taken from her. For after that, the beast levieth a new war to the overcoming and the killing of the church. I say, therefore, that this is a sign, not of the downfall of Antichrist, but of the approach thereof. For the church's bondage shall continue but 3 days, and a little after this shall be her deliverance. Much like to this was that of David, for after he had lost his Ziklag, for 2 or 3 days he had sore distress. But lo, then came the kingdom to him. Indeed, sense and reason saith, it is a fearful thing for the church of God to be exposed to the rage of her enemy all over the world at once, and that all nations should shut up their gates, let down their portcullises, bolt up their doors, and set open their floodgates to destroy them. But so will be the dispensation of God. To the end, deliverance may be the sweeter, and the enemy's fall the more headlong, and the arm of God the more manifest, both for the one and against the other. And in this will that scripture be fulfilled, quote, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, and that at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, close quote. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Let us gather up what has been said again, namely, that it is a sign of the approach of the ruin of Antichrist, when God's church can find no more shelter in the wilderness, because when her Ziklag is burned, the time of the war that the beast is to make against her is finished. Wherefore, when she hath given one desperate struggle more, and laid the church of God or his witnesses for dead in the street of his great city for 3 days and a half, then comes the kingdom and the long, long looked for rest and glory. Wherefore it remains that an angel should stand in the sun and make proclamation to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, to gather themselves together to the supper of the great God, quote, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit upon them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great, close quote. Revelation chapter 19, verse 18. This is to be after the 42 months of the beast, and consequently, after the 2,203 score days that the church was to be in sackcloth. Yea, after the resurrection of the witnesses, as is evident by that which follows, quote, and the beast was taken, that is, after the second year, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. That's verse 20. Second sign. Secondly, another sign of the approach of the ruin of Antichrist is this. Towards the end of her reign, the nations will be made to see her baseness and to abhor her and her ways. They will, I say, be made to see these things in order to her ruin. Also, when they shall be made to see, her ruin will not be far off. For so long as the nations and their rulers shall continue in that dead sleep that she hath bewitched them into by their drinking of the wine of her fornication, so long we have no ground to think that her ruin is at the door. But when God shall lay her before kings and shall discover her nakedness to the nations, then be sure that her destruction is at hand. And hence you read that precedent to her downfall. An angel comes down from heaven and enlightens the earth with his glory. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. The earth, that is, the kingdoms, countries, and nations where the woman sitteth, or they that border thereupon, now enlightened, to let them see the filthiness of the whore with his glory, with the doctrine that he had commissioned to preach against her, for the discovering of her lewdness to the earth. This also was the way that God took with backsliding Israel of old, and she was a type of our religious Babel. When he intended to bring her to judgment for her sins, Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 37, and this is the way that God will take to destroy our religious Antichrist. when he comes to deliver his people out of her hand. For though the people that suffer at her hand can do nothing against her, but lay in prayers and tears against her before the God of heaven, and bear their witness against her before the gods of the earth, yet when kings shall come to be concerned, and they will count themselves concerned when they shall see how they have been deceived by her, then let her look to it. Quote, "Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock." Close quote. And what follows? Quote, "And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee, and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee?" Close quote. That's Nahum chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. "Wherefore, there wants nothing but that she be discovered to the nations and their kings. For did they but see her, though they lay yet in her bosom, they would rise up against her, that she must die. Wherefore it is written again, I will, quote, bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee." Close quote. That's Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 18. The chief of the wisdom of Antichrist this day is laid out, if perhaps by it she may cover her nakedness and keep it from the eyes of kings and their people. But God has said it shall not avail. Quote, "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man." Close quote. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 3. But how will he make her naked? Well, truly, by kings. But how shall kings do it? Why, by virtue of the glory of the angel. Yea, they, quote, shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Close quote. It's Revelation chapter 17, verse 16. Let this, I pray, be considered, that Antichrist shall not down, but by the hand of kings. The preacher then kills her soul, and the king kills her body. And why should not the kings have it granted unto them that she should fall by their hand? The kings are those that she has abused, that she has, in the grossest manner, abused, and has served herself of them. But the time of the end of Antichrist, mystery, Babylon, is coming. Quote, "And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him." Close quote. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 7. Number 12. "Nor shall all the tricks, lies, and deceit under which formerly she used to shroud herself be able to prove a balm to her any longer." No, quote, "In vain shalt thou use many medicines." Close quote. "For no cure shall be unto thee." Quote, "The nations have heard of thy shame." Close quote. Jeremiah chapter 46, verses 11 and 12. Babylon has for a long time been, quote, "a lady of kingdoms," close quote, and, quote, "a golden cup in the Lord's hand," close quote. The nations also have largely drank of her cup, and the kings have committed fornication with her. Revelation chapter 18, verse 3. But now the angel is come down and hath enlightened the earth with his glory. Wherefore now it follows immediately, quote, Babylon is fallen, close quote. That is, meaning, in the eyes and esteem of the nations, as well as otherwise. True, some of the kings will bewail her fall, and will cry, alas, alas, when they see that they cannot help her, for that they shall see, as is evident, because they stand afar off to lament her, quote, afar off for the fear of her torment, close quote. The kings, therefore, into whose hands God shall deliver her, and who shall execute his judgments upon her, shall be more mighty and powerful to bring her down than shall be the whole world besides to uphold her. The Protestant kings. And this, observe further, that as the kings that shall hate her, because in the light of the glory of the angel, they are made able to see her filthiness. So the kings that shall bewail her are such as in judgment that are left in the dark, and that shall be bewitched by her to the end. This, therefore, will let us see something of the meaning of God, and that he has drawn off from her some of the kings already, to wit, that he might train them up by the light of the gospel, that they may be expert, like men of war, to scale her walls, when the King of Kings shall give out the commandment to them so to do. There has been a great deal of talk in the countries about the ruin and destruction of Babylon. But could we see more of the kings engaged against her, we should hope groundedly that her fall was at the door. Well, blessed be God for what kings there are, and the Lord turn the hearts of many more to hate her. Some, as I have said before, have adventured to foretell the time of her downfall. But give me the signs thereof. Well, this, therefore, is a sign that her downfall approaches, when God shall lay her nakedness before the nations, and put it into the hearts of kings to abhor her. The signs of the times the Lord Jesus would have us mind. And because the Jews neglected them, though as to the time they hit pretty right, yet they missed of the thing that the time brought forth. And that's where I'll bring it for a close today, this Sabbath day, November the 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is your narrator, Dwayne Lynn, signing off, and we'll see you next time.